General David Petraeus is headed back to Afghanistan. He, of course, already commands the theater in Afghanistan as the general in charge of CENTCOM, Central Command. But he's now in charge of the day-to-day activities of the Afghan war. He's at NATO headquarters on his way back. What is he thinking about his mission? Is there clarity on the mission in Afghanistan right now? It's a good moment to reflect, and we thought we'd talk with Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, who spent years in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and close proximity to General David Petraeus. He's in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning.
It's great to see you in person.
Thanks.
You're looking well for all of your war zone activity, that's for sure. What do you think David Petraeus is thinking about his mission right now? Because I was trying to think about it, and I don't know if the mission is clear from my standpoint, and I spend a lot of time thinking about Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, first of all, you have to remember he is the architect of the plan there. It's not like he's new blood or going to make any big change. But he does feel under a lot of pressure to make change, particularly on the issue of protecting American soldiers and how robustly they can use firepower, you know, versus trying to protect civilians. And I think that's going to be very much on his mind, how he's going to be able to finesse that to keep critics in Congress happy and to keep his soldiers happy without violating his own policy, which is to try to emphasize protecting civilians in an effort to win them over.
And the casualty numbers are grim. I mean, it's three dead per day on a rate last month that, you know, comes close to a record.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's coming close to what we saw at the height of the war in Iraq as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the differences between Iraq, which Petraeus, of course, is credited with getting a lot of success in Iraq, versus what is required in Afghanistan to create, I guess, the clearest way of saying the mission is to defeat the Taliban and make Afghanistan not a safe haven for al-Qaeda. At least that's the way Barack Obama describes the mission. David Petraeus benefited from a spontaneous uprising against forces of chaos in Iraq called the Awakening that he took advantage of in Iraq to help him in counterinsurgency. There is no such awakening going on in Afghanistan. How does that complicate his efforts to create alliances on the ground?
I think it complicates it a great deal, and I think to some extent he's a victim of his own propaganda, you know, the surge propaganda, that it's the surge that turned around Iraq. It wasn't the surge. It was the surge with the Awakening, made possible by the Awakening, and the surge in turn made the Awakening grow as well. And we just don't have that phenomenon in Afghanistan as yet. We have a surge, but even the surge is, by Iraq standards, pretty small beer.
You know, General David Petraeus, I listened a few times to the comments that he made during his brief confirmation hearings. He clearly is very comfortable with the idea that we could be in Afghanistan for another decade. But he seems to be a calm about that. I mean,
did he say that?
Well, he said a long time. The sense that I got is that it could be years and years.
He's too careful to say that, yes. But
yeah.
I think you're right. And I think he probably realizes that that's what's going to likely happen.
I mean, but he seems to accept it calmly.
Yeah, because I think he's smart enough to know that there's no way we can resolve Afghanistan by 2011 and get out. What I don't think he does know is whether or not the president will stick to that schedule.
Right.
And I think that's very likely.
And generate the political will to maintain that mission over there on a relatively open-ended basis, it seems to me. I can't see when the withdrawal would be. But let's talk a little bit about creating a circumstance on the ground in Afghanistan that might duplicate the success in Iraq. All right, if there's no awakening in Afghanistan, what does Petraeus do? Go immediately and make a unilateral deal with the Taliban? That seems to me to be the only analog. And does he have the credibility to pull something like that off on himself, by himself?
I don't think so. And I think if he were want to do that, that would have already been done. You know, there was really no daylight between him and McChrystal in terms of American policy in Afghanistan. It's just he's going to be the guy on the ground. I don't think he's going to make any substantive changes in that policy.
But the Pakistanis have made substantive changes. They're trying to create a deal with the Taliban that makes an end run around the Americans. It seems to me they're either moving past Petraeus, discounting what America is going to do, or trying to subvert it in some sense. How do you think Petraeus sees that situation?
I think he probably sees it as trying to subvert it, and I think it's something that the U.S. will push back against politically. And the Pakistanis, too, I think, are overstating their ability to make a deal with the Taliban. They seem to feel they can deliver the Haqqani network, but that's only part of the picture, and if that is even true. But the Pakistanis have always had a kind of devious role in Afghanistan.
And but then you've created a situation which may, in a mm-hmm. sense, duplicate the complications that the McChrystal had. Do you think Petraeus will see eye to eye with, say, Richard Holbrooke on how we deal with Pakistan, on Ambassador Eikenberry in Afghanistan, on how we deal with Pakistan? Because there's going to be a need for a lot of unanimity there for a policy to be coherent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he described Holbrooke as his wingman and Eikenberry as an old friend and colleague. I think it remains to be seen how that plays out. There's a lot of chatter in Washington now that both those civilian leaders are going to be changed. And maybe they will see that as a way to sort of create a new message by changing the team there.
You mean that they'll actually change the personnel?
Holbrooke and Eikenberry, yeah. That's the talk that
wow.
we're hearing in Washington.
Well, that's a fairly big headline.
Yeah, I think we have a story about it. I hope we have a story about it this morning. I seem to remember reading it. But I don't know about it myself, but I have heard that. And, you know, Holbrooke's had some problems. Eikenberry with the leaked memo about the troops not being enough and so on.
Sure.
I mean, that angered McChrystal. But the policy, again, is Petraeus's policy. So I would think that McChrystal's anger is Petraeus's anger.
From the standpoint of the Pakistanis and people on the ground in Afghanistan, what do they see with Petraeus coming in? More of same, a policy that's unstable, or a new leaf?
Well, I think the Pakistanis see the American policy as doomed, but then so do a lot of people. Kayani had something interesting to say, you know, the general who's
right.
the commander in Pakistan, and that was that he liked McChrystal better because he was more of a soldier and a strategist, whereas Petraeus is more of a politician.
Hmm.
But in fact, maybe more of a politician is what they need in Afghanistan.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. If you wanted to take a book on Afghanistan to a summer vacation location, what would you suggest this summer?
Actually, as a fun read, I mean, there are lots of serious books you could take, but that's not what you want on the beach. But as a fun read and also a really, really good take on Afghanistan, you can't beat Caravans by James Michener. I just read it out of desperation, actually. I'm not a big Michener fan.
That's great.
But it was the only book at hand in Kabul one night, and our television wasn't working. So I picked it up and read it in one sitting. It's just fabulous. It predicts the American invasion of Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
The Russian invasion of Afghanistan. It was written in 1953
Fantastic.
And set in Helmand.
All
wow.
right. James Michener, a suggestion from Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, all about Afghanistan. The book is Caravans. Keep your suggestions coming. Thanks, Rod.
Sure thing.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.